Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 TCW Limited conference call hosted by Arihant Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Kunjal Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Hello and good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets, I thank you all for joining into Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of TCW Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Satwik Jain, President, Mr. Amitabh Gupta, CEO, Mr. Sudarshan Ganapathy, COO, and Mr. Pradeepta Mukherjee, CFO. So, without any further delay, I would hand over the call to Mr. Satwik Jain for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to TCW's earnings call for the third quarter of financial year 2025. I hope you have all had the opportunity to review our earnings presentation and financial results, which have been uploaded to the exchanges and to our website. The global chemical industry continues to navigate a challenging environment marked by geopolitical uncertainties, sluggish demand, and pricing pressures across various segments. India, in particular, has faced significant headwinds due to an influx of lower-cost imports from China. The Chinese chemical industry, operating at underutilized capacities, has led to aggressive exports, keeping global chemical prices under pressure. India, lacking protective trade measures in certain segments, has become a key dumping ground for various Chinese chemicals, causing significant pricing distress. That said, towards the end of Q3, we saw the Chinese government rolling out stimulus measures aimed at reviving its domestic economy, including supporting local governments and infrastructure projects. Over time, this is expected to increase China's internal consumption and ease some of the export pressures that have been impacting global chemical markets. However, in the near term, the pricing pain due to Chinese imports remains a significant challenge for domestic manufacturers. On the policy front, while provisional anti-dumping duty on PVC was recommended by the Ministry of Commerce in October, its implementation by the Ministry of Finance remains pending. This delay has resulted in continued dumping of PVC into the Indian market, further depressing prices in Q4. However, we continue to remain optimistic that the government will support the domestic industry from these unfair trade practices with the duty implementation in the near future. Looking at the export market, demand for synthetic rutile remains sluggish throughout 2025, impacting both volumes and pricing. However, we have seen some improvement in Q4, with volumes picking up, albeit at lower realizations. Encouragingly, the outlook for FY26 appears to be more positive as the global market conditions gradually improve. Amidst these industry-wide challenges, TCW has remained resilient, focusing on execution, operational efficiencies, and strategic growth initiatives. Let me now walk you through our key performance highlights for the quarter. Despite weak global demand and pricing pressures, our capacity utilizations improved across all product segments, with PVC and CPVC operating at full capacity. For quarter three, we achieved an overall capacity utilization above 80% across all our product categories. This is a testament to our strong operational execution and market positioning. While realizations of most of our products remained under pressure, our revenue from operations grew by 19% year-on-year, driven by volume growth across our portfolio. Specialty chemicals, which continue to be the backbone of our growth strategy, remained stable and provided the much-needed margin consistency. This segment achieved its highest-ever sales during the first 9 months of this fiscal. On the profitability front, we saw a turnaround in our EBITDA margin, both sequentially and year-on-year. This was backed by marginal improvements in our commodity business, as well as strong volume growth in our specialty chemicals. Our specialty segment has been the key driver of bottom line stability, contributing to a 42% increase in EBITDA year on year. On our capital expenditure, we remain committed to our long-term strategy, balancing expansion with financial prudence. Our alternative energy project is near completion, with the first phase expected to be operational by end of this month and second phase by the end of March. This initiative is expected to bring significant cost efficiencies and enhance our sustainability efforts. Our CPVC expansion project, which we announced in our previous earnings call, is progressing well. Construction is underway, and we remain committed to commission the first phase by September of this year. Our strategic focus on scaling our specialty chemicals business while optimizing our commodity operations is delivering results. With increased capacities and strong demand outlook, we expect this segment to drive our future earnings stability. We are also executing our strategy of growth alongside debt reduction. Our long-term debt continues to decline year on year, even as we add significant new volumes in our specialty business. This disciplined capital allocation is expected to enhance our bottom line through an improved margin profile and lower financing costs. Looking ahead, we remain cautiously optimistic. While pricing pressures persist, the early signs of demand recovery in select segments and the structural improvements that we have made over the past few quarters provide confidence in our long-term trajectory. Despite the ongoing challenges, we have taken proactive steps to strengthen our business fundamentals, ensuring we emerge stronger as the market stabilizes. With that, I request our CFO, Pradipta Mukherjee, to take you through our financials in detail. Over to you.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the earnings call. The revenue for the quarter gone by stood at 474 crores as against 398 crores in quarter three of last fiscal. That's an improvement by 19% YOY. The EBITDA for the quarter also stood at 62 odd crores versus 24 crores in quarter three of over quarter three of FY24, an increase by 160%. The revenue increase was predominantly driven by the specialty segment, both CPVC and SIOP, with the commercialization of the CAPEX in quarter four of FY24 and quarter one of FY25 respectively. The other factors were export sales of synthetic rutile, which finally saw some uptake, and we could conclude a sales of above 8 KT for the quarter. The EBITDA for the quarter from specialty segment grew almost 50% and clocked at 48 crores. The commodity segment for the quarter had an EBITDA of 14 crores versus a loss in the last fiscal. The major savings on the commodity EBITDA was from PVC due to positive VCM PVC spread, and also from the caustic, where the realizations improved by 12% in quarter three. Margin expansion was witnessed for the quarter, and it stood at 13% against 6% in quarter three of last fiscal. On a QOQ basis, the revenue was 3% down at 474 crores, while caustic division clocked on higher revenues on back of higher synthetic rutile sales. PVC and CPVC divisions were affected due to lower volumes in both the segments. This was also coupled by lower realizations of CPVC by 7%. The EBITDA for the quarter stood at 61.8 crores, which was around 49% higher than the last quarter, which stood at 41.5 crores. While the specialty segment remains steady at 47.6 crores across both the quarters, the swing was in the commodity segment, which clocked a 14.2 crore profit as against a loss of 6 crore in the last quarter. This was again driven by the caustic prices of increase by 11% and a better VCM PVC spread. On a 9-month YOY, the company's revenue stood at 1,462 crores, which is a 17% uptick from rupees 1,250 crores. EBITDA stood at 155 crores, up from 125 crores, an improvement by 24%. The increase in the EBITDA from specialty grew to 143 crores in the 9 months, up by 62% from 88 crores in 9 months of last year. While the commodity EBITDA declined to rupees 12 crores from 37 crores last year, majorly due to caustic division, wherein there was a severe price correction in synthetic rutile by 32%. And the caustic prices more or less remained flat with a negative bias. Interest cost for the quarter stood at 16.25 crores, which is showing a gradual declining trend with our scheduled repayment of term borrowings. The quarterly interest was lower by 10% YOY basis and 12% QOQ basis. Term lending has been reducing and has reached a level of 400 crores, reduction of 410 crores in March 24, despite an 80 crores of fresh borrowings to support the CPVC, ongoing CPVC capex. The depreciation more or less remains same, inched a bit higher because of the capitalization of the CPVC and SIOP capex is concluded in quarter 4 and quarter 1 respectively. The PBT for quarter 3 and 9 months stood at 20 crores and 28 crores respectively. The company, both at the quarter level and 9-month level, has shown a significant increase in the profit before tax. The YOY quarter 3, there was a loss of 17 crores last quarter, which now clocked a profit of 20 crores. And at the 9-month level, more or less it was break-even last year. Now we have concluded a PBT of 28 crores. The contribution from specialty, along with the reduction in the interest cost, has significantly benefited the PBT of the company, thereby the profit allocable to all our shareholders. Thank you. With this, we can have the floor open for question and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of Pujal Shah from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, please.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible? Yeah.
Yeah, you are, please.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, sir. My first question would be on the CPVC side. So on the capex front, if we look on the historical side, the initial capex what we have spent is around 3 lakh per TPS. And now what we have been spending for the additional 30,000 capacity is around 140 crore, which comes around 46,000. So do we already we have a land parcel in Sahupuram? So why is it the initial capex would be much higher and the upfront and the next upcoming capacity would be lower? And what could be the on an average capex for each TPA if we wanted to understand?
No, we cannot really differentiate. When we put the plan for the first time, there were a lot of utilities which has been factored for the future expansion. So you have to segregate what has been the capex that we have done on the utilities, because that will support even the expansion which has supported the first phase what we did now, and the second phase what we are going also. Partly we will have the utilities which are already we have spent money on that. That's why you will see on paper the capex for the further round of expansion is lower than what we have spent in the first phase. Also, the first phase also had a compounding capacity which we are not going to add in the second and third phase because we have the capacity available.
Additionally, to answer, I think last time we had given a CAPEX figure of 125 odd crores, which was doubling of our CPVC capacity from 10,000 tons to 20,000 tons and also debottlenecking of SIOP. Now we have announced, our last announcement is for 140 crores from taking 20 KT to 50 KT. So I think if you see the investment what we have done, I mean just concluded CAPEX, the next CAPEX what we have announced is more cost effective from a capital per ton of, CPVC.
Okay, got it, sir. But in the initial phase, so we have a tie-up with Arkema, right? So is that an agreement, is a royalty agreement? What was the initial, and is that agreement still prevailing or is it now, like what was the agreement with them?
The first agreement was on a one-time technology transfer agreement, which has the guarantees in place for 10 years. So as we talk now, we have the guarantees for the product quality for the first phase. The subsequent expansions, we have a royalty mode basis. There is a technology transfer fees, which has been kept at a lower side, and we have a royalty payment based on the product that we are going to sell. So the model is slightly different, because in the Arkema side, they were not open for a royalty agreement, so we have to pay upfront technology transfer agreement.
So as of now, what would the percentage of royalty we have been paying to them?
I don't think we can divulge that at this juncture.
Okay, sir. And sir, on the soda ash part, so if we look into it, we have a machine impairment which was impacting our sales and the profitability. So now if we like, if that was been expected in Q4, so do we feel that in coming years, in next 1 to 2 years, we will achieve the same margins which we have been doing, like roughly around 12-15% range? So what's your thought on that? Because even a few companies are also coming with the capacities, as well as the global demand supply dynamics are also are impacting. So how we have been looking at this this division, soda ash?
See, soda ash, we have been presently operating at around 80-85% capacity for the last 9 months, and we will continue to do so for quarter four as well. We would have our machinery in place to support 100% production and sale going forward from end of quarter one. Okay, so that's one part of the question. The second piece is that we would, at a full steady state, as our internal assumption goes, would do an EBIT of 18-20% at current prices. So industry has also been, talking with the government in terms of supports, pricing supports, or there has been a PIP, MIP, which has also come in on the minimum imports into the country. I think there is reasoning with the government which is going on to have a support mechanism for the current prices, if not better, after institution of ADD. So we think that the margin of 20% is quite achievable for when we do the full production, and we hope to achieve that in next year.
Okay, sir. Sir, coming on the caustic soda and synthetic rutile, so understanding the part, can you just segregate, because so recently we have seen uptake in the caustic soda, and Chinese prices are very firm in terms of saying that and the realization. What was the impact of synthetic rutile which has been contributing, and what could be the margin in synthetic rutile as of now?
Well, it's Amitabh Gupta here. Good afternoon, everybody. On the synthetic rutile front, we passed through a very bad phase, but things are much better for the year 25-26. We have been able to book orders more or less to the extent of our current production, and the prices are much better than what we were able to achieve during the year 24-25. So I think synthetic rutile business is going to be much better next year as compared to last year, as compared to this year.
And secondly, just to address your point that we have also done a positive EBITDA for the quarter, backed by increase in prices of caustic. And that has turned the segment from EBITDA loss to an EBITDA positive. We've done a 7 crore of EBITDA positive for the quarter.
But sir, as you have rightly said, like synthetic rutile, we got that order book and we also get 2 years demand visibility. So what could be the EBITDA margins we could achieve in the synthetic rutile excluding caustic soda, because we understand the variability of caustic soda?
Synthetic rutile historic margins has been in the north of 20%. Okay, so there has been some demand disruption in the last year and the year under review, which has led to a decrease in our overall profitability. But this is an one-off aberration. I feel that going forward, we will be having that sort of a margin for this product, what has been the last 10-year average.
However, we don't expect a V-shaped recovery. The recovery would be gradual. We first securing our contracts with the customers on a long term, and the pricing would only be reviewed based on the market prices prevailing.
Right, agreed. And my bookkeeping question would be on the debt side. So if you look in the total debt cost of debt is around 14-15%, while our cost of debt, what we have been saying in Concall, is 10-11%. So I'm not able to understand. So is that a differential due to we are looking at the end mark, or what's the difference?
No, there is some working capital limit. So when you are considering a term lending balance outstanding versus the interest cost, that will not match because of a couple of reasons. We operate on a working capital lending, which is basically non-fund based to support our purchase for VCM, which is imported. Apart from that, since we have been maintaining a very healthy cash level in the balance sheet, around 175 crores, we chose to keep that in the balance sheet. We are running a working capital borrowing line as well to address the uncertain situation. And that's exactly where the interest is a bit high. But if you see on a yearly level or a 9-month level, the interest cost has been gradually coming down.
So as our repayment terms is around almost 100 to 130 crores in the coming years.
Yes.
So we'll be debt-free in the
effort. In 2.5 years time.
Yes. Nice, sir. And last question on the SIOP division. So if we look at the industry, can you just give a broad idea on the total India market size and the global? And because we have been the Asia's largest capacity out there, and we have been dominant, have a dominant position. So we wanted to understand how the demand dynamics works in this specific segment.
Well, SIOP, the local demand is in the vicinity of about 20 to 25,000 tons a year, out of which we are selling almost 9,000 tons to 10,000 tons. Our major sales are in the U.S. market, which is a very good and steady market for us. And more or less, whatever is our production capacity, we are doing that. And now we are embarking on putting on the micronization plant, which will increase our sales and also will be a big value addition to the product. The price of this micronized product is almost 30 to 35% more than the normal price.
So total, if you look at the global, what could be the demand, total global demand and supply?
Global demand is very difficult for us to predict because China, all said and done, is a major producer in the country, in the world, and to get data from them is impossible. So,
we have been supplying to a few leading customers in the US, and we have a long-term tie-up with them. India market, it's basically we operate at two colors, which is red and yellow.
So there will be a different volume which is taken for the overall synthetic SIOP. But for red and yellow, as sir told, that in India it is around 25,000 ton, of which around 40% we are catering as a company. For the US, there are a couple of customers with whom we have a long-term association, and we don't see any reduction in the volume there. Rather, we can expect, some increase in volumes.
Yeah, and one more thing I would like to add, maybe the volumes may not be very big, but we are introducing the black iron oxide, orange, and brown in the market now. So our range is increasing, and of course red has number of shades, yellow has number of shades which we have got now.
And sir, regarding the tie-up with the Rockwood Pigments, still it's prevailing, or what is the currently, what the agreement?
You see, Rockwood does not exist anymore. Rockwood sold it to Huntsman, yeah. Huntsman sold it to Venator. So the things have changed hell of a lot. So Rockwood doesn't exist anymore in this business.
Okay, so we don't have any long-term agreement with Rockwood. As of now, we are not supplying to Rockwood, right?
There is nothing like Rockwood anymore.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And sir, do we feel a sustainable margin of 30-35% EBIT margins in SIOP for next 2 years?
So I think it's very difficult, sir, to give a margin call for us, given the geopolitics which is being playing out. We are hopeful that we will be able to maintain the margin of 30-35% both in SIOP and RCPVC segment.
Done, sir. I will get back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Mohan Kaushik from Trinetra Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. So my first question regarding, like, we are supplying into US markets in the exports. Like, how much percentage of revenue comes from US markets, and is there any impact from tariffs?
Practically 40-45% of our production goes in the US market. And so far, Mr. Trump has not announced any tariff on India. But I think
Mr. you're
saying something?
Keep your line on mute. So we'll help you from your line.
Yeah. So far, Mr. Trump has not announced any specific tariffs for India and not this product. So I think with this 10% increase in the tariff for China should help us a bit, but then later only the time will tell. But frankly, we don't envisage any drop in the business in US, because these are the long-term commitments which we have got, and things should be steady as far as US markets are concerned. Okay?
Got it. Yes, sir. Sir, like CPVC, PVC prices are coming down after doing anti-dumping duty and all, few countries. Like, where right now, the major imports coming from any other countries apart from China and US?
Imports are coming from Japan, Thailand, USA. So, imports from those countries have not really stopped. Because even when the duty was in place on China and Korea, imports were coming from Thailand, Japan, and USA. And which is still continuing to come, because that volume we will have to break, but that will take some time.
When we can expect normalcy, sir?
Normalcy, you see, you are seeing only one side, because there is also a drop in the input price. Because prices are reduced, because there is also a reduction in your input cost, which is PVC. So technically, if you see, our margins have more or less remained the same between the last quarter and this quarter, despite the prices going down, because the input cost also has gone down.
Got it. Sir, on that CAPEX side, like the CPVC phase 3 expansions, like what kind of asset turn we can expect, like what kind of utilizations, ramp up we can expect?
So we have announced a 30 KT increase in our CPVC capacity, that too in phases. The first phase what we are undertaking is from 20,000 tons to 40,000 tons. That's around 20,000 tons increase in our production and consequently sales. The market is there, obviously, to place these volumes. However, the pricing, as we discussed, was under pressure. And we are hopeful that from quarter three of next fiscal, we'll be gradually placing the volumes.
Got it, sir. I'll come back and
thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Parth Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for opportunity. So, given ongoing weakness in the CPVC price, could you please elaborate whether it is a trend primarily driven by demand fluctuation or increasing competition from peers? Because already other peers are aggressively expanding. So what will be the demand outlook for the CPVC? Additionally, Turkey and CPVC become commodities and CPVC prices directly linked with the PVC?
I am not able to hear you, boss. Can you please speak slowly and a bit clearly, please?
Okay, sure. So as we told that CPVC price is decreasing. So CPVC price decreasing is mainly driven by demand fluctuation or competition aggressively pricing by the competitors.
Okay, I'll pause it there. It is a combination of both, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, CPVC prices are going down because PVC prices are also going down.
Okay.
So that's why I have been saying that the overall margin has more or less remained the same. And there is also a demand weakness in the construction sector because as a product, PVC pipes and CPVC pipes tend to go in tandem. So there has been a decline in the CPVC demand in the construction sector, which has had some impact on the demand. But having said that, it is not that the prices, you drop the price and you will sell. So the prices move in tandem with the PVC price with a lag. So that will continue. Tomorrow if the PVC prices go up, even CPVC prices will go up. So on the usage side, what I am trying to say is that higher availability will also result in higher demand coming. So there will not be a problem which we have seen in all the products. In fact, when Reliance came with their PVC capacity, the capacity was much more than the demand. But over the years, the demand opened up and it got consumed. So we don't see any problem in placing the product, be it our capacity or be any other new capacity coming. There will be a lag for the demand to catch up, but availability will definitely improve the demand.
So, could you please tell us what is the realization of the CPVC right now for us?
CPVC realization is around 130 rupees.
Okay. So, going forward, we can see the deterioration in price and directly linkage of the PVC and CPVC. Like many Chinese players are selling the CPVC to a difference of the 10,000 to 15,000 per ton. So demand outlook will be similar to the India in going forward. So there will be
demand. Just let me try and answer and address your question in a different way. See, the ADD which has come in CPVC is basically a fixed duty structure, unlike the previous anti-dumping duty which was a fixed price structure. So when we say that it is a fixed duty structure, if the PVC prices go down, the prices of CPVC will also go down, but the spread will be available because of the ADD being there. Now, secondly is the internal requirement of the country has gone with slow because the construction sector is working with lower. That has further had a bit of an impact in the CPVC. The total volumes requirement in the country on a steady state is much higher than we and our
our peer in India put together, it is still an import substitution product. So either on the demand side or on the margin side, we don't see an impact farther than what is prevailing as of now.
Okay.
However, situation being very dynamic, things may undergo a change, but our visibility and our understanding says the margin will be more or less protected and there will be taker for our entire volumes. So as of now, in the coming couple of years, we don't see things to deteriorate so far as CPVC is concerned.
Okay. So is there any our quality differentiation than our peers, that our quality is better for the CPVC than our peers? We have any edge for CPVC like that in interest case?
We really will not be able to comment on our competitors' what quality, but what we can say is that we as an organization or manufacturer both of PVC as well as CPVC, which should give us a better edge compared to our competitor.
Okay. This from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Mohan Kaushik from Trinetra Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Kaushik, can you hear us? This is the operator, Mr. Mohan Kaushik. Yes. Please go ahead with the question.
Thank you, sir. So, cash position is 175 crore as of Q3. Like, what about the debt position? And also, please share our working capital side for this quarter, like payable receivables.
So, our long-term debt or the term lending, as I told you, have come down sub 400 crores. It is around 395 odd crores, with our scheduled repayments being on and 130 odd crores being to be paid. I think in two and a half years' time, we will be able to pay off the legacy debt. The debt which has been recently taken to support the CPVC capex will have a five-year window. That's a five-year tenor debt which has been taken. On the working capital side, we have followed a discipline of having 80% of borrowings, I mean fund-based borrowings, to the FDs, free FDs what we have, and we are following that discipline quite comfortably. And third is we have some working capital non-fund based debts which are LCs, which are rotation or run a part of our sundry creditors.
Hello, sir.
Sir, what about that working capital days in terms of, is there any increase on inventories?
So our inventories more or less remains the same. Our inventory days, see, historically as an organization, our DSO, data's outstanding is roughly 13 to 14 days at the organization level. Our creditors around 90 to 100 days. Our inventory was going up in terms of days because of the export volumes we were unable to place for synthetic rutile predominantly. That, for the last quarter, first time we had did a sale of 8,000 tons, which is equal to our production. So on our inventory days, it would be maintained at a quarter-on-quarter level, and we hope that from next year onwards, the inventory days will also go down.
Got it, sir. So this renewable power projects, like how much cost savings we can expect in terms of operational side?
See, when we calculated, when we got into the project, it was looking very promising because the coal prices at that point in time was very high. Wherein we got into the project, the investment roughly would be around 25 to 30 crores. And we expected at that point in time to, for the savings to come at an annual level of north of 50 crores. I think now we anticipate the savings with the current price, the blended prices of power, to be at around 35 to 40 crores.
Got it, sir. Sir, this Sagopuram facility will provide logistical advantages for exports and like if you could share what kind of cost savings or synergies we are getting from this facility.
So I think we have an all-weather port out there, and that only helps to avail the sea route in transporting our materials like caustic and all the export materials. But having said that, if you are on a other side of the on an extreme side, that also has a challenge in terms of reaching up to your sales would be limited only to the nearby customers. If you have to reach up to other customers, you have to pay more freight. So all in all, it gets balanced out in a way. But we obviously have that advantage of the Tuticorin port, which helps us use that sea route for exports and as well as imports.
Got it, sir. So any planned strategic partnerships or acquisitions in the pipeline?
Not at the moment. I think we are obviously evaluating an opportunity, but as of now, no. The expansions which have been announced are keeping us busy till at least next year. I think we would get into a drawing board for next level of growth somewhere early next year, next fiscal. Maybe H1 of next fiscal, we could start forming up something for the next 5 years.
Oh, got it, sir. So we have this 175 crore cash. Is there any plan to utilize for future growth?
Obviously, that is one of the reasons we are trying to repay the debt. As I told you, in 2 years' time, all the legacy debt will go off. We are also borrowing lower term loan than our repayment, because if you know, we have made an announcement to do a capex of 140 crores, but have gone ahead in the market to fund only 80 crores of that. Balance will be from internal accruals. And having said that, our repayment is also 130 crores. That means we are reducing the debt and also enhancing our capacities. That's what Mr. Satvik Jain also told. We're trying to grow but also deleverage ourselves together. And that culminates in a point of time when our debt, more or less at FY27 level, goes down to negligible amount on the term lending side. And we try and maintain the cash which is there in the balance sheet, which gives us opportunity for a bigger capex.
Got it, sir.
But as of now, we've not formed up anything as an organization.
Okay, sir. So I have seen most of the companies in Q3 who are exporting to other countries, they're facing forex losses. And how you are managing our forex side, is there any MTM losses are there?
Yeah, there are, because the forex, the INR devalued significantly over the last 1 month, and all of a sudden, to be precise. But for us as an organization, while we try to cover up our imports, we keep the exports open. But having said that, the forex, there will be forex loss, but since we are onto import substitution as a company, especially in PVC, CPVC, the devaluation of dollar obviously will play operationally better for us, because the import price parity of our FG, the prices of our FG will also go up to do an import price parity. So on an FX you may find a loss, but at an overall profitability level, devaluation of dollar will not impact us, because we are either exporting or an import substitution.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Pujal Shah from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the recent capex of CPVC, so what is the debt cost as of now for the capex?
I beg your pardon, could not get your question.
Yeah, sure. Just hold it.
So, we took a borrowing of roughly around 70 crores for CPVC capex, right? So yeah, so what could be the debt cost as of now? What is the cost of borrowing?
Oh, the cost of borrowing. The weighted average cost of all term lending put together will be 9.5%.
9.5.
I mean, anything between a 25 basis points here and there.
Yeah, got it. Sir, could you just state all the realizations for each segment, excluding CPC, because we know currently the CPC is realizing 130. Other than that, can you just state down the costing and all that realization ECU specific?
So, just to let you know, sir, that most of the commodity product prices are available in the market domain. We would obviously refrain from being very specific into the net realizations unless you insist, because of that would be the only thing what we would like to reserve. You can drop us a mail for any specific request. We'll see if how well we can comfort you. Thank you.
And sir, just understanding on the one part, you know, on the so on the 125 crores of capex what we have done for the SI, so what would be the spend on debottlenecking of SIOP?
What would be the
What would be the debottlenecking capex spend for SIOP?
We have not spread out that because there are linked utilities for that. But if I have to put a number on it, it would be around 30-35 odd crores. But that specific, we cannot give it to you. Because there are certain interlinkage utilities which we had also built in that capex.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, any incremental country we have been focusing, because in the previous call also we have been focusing on newer countries for exports.
So we are still focusing on Europe as a country where we can get in. I think our CEO Mr. Amitabh Gupta also told that certain developments to our SIOP product, which we are planning to do, which gives us a very good, opportunity to explore the U.S. market with our SIOP product.
And frankly, we are spreading our wings to the African market for the SIOP. Okay. And Europe, the things continue to be pretty bad as far as the economy is concerned. But then like Southeast Asia and Middle East and Africa, these are the places, and I think we will have a reasonable presence in these markets in during the course of the next year.
Sure, sir. And just last question on the SIOP would be on the micronization part. So if we understand, current capacities of on a competition side, do we have any already set up plant by the competitor, or we are the initial one to set up this micronization plant? And is it more on a cost saving benefits or more on the product quality side?
No, quality wise it is a final product. Okay, the dispersion is much better in this product, and that's why the paint industry, in some of their formulations, they prefer the micronized product. Right now in India, in any Indian manufacturer, they don't have any micronized product. But like international brands like Lensex, they have a micronized product. And I think this will add up to our bottom line as well as our volumes.
Okay, sir. And any outline of capex on that spend for specific micronization or?
Nothing significant in terms of the previous expenditures what we have done. But it's a bit premature, sir, to comment on that. But nothing significant that we can assure you.
Sure, done. Thank you so much. That's from my side.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call today, and hope we've been able to answer all your questions. If there's anything further, you can reach out to our investor relations managers for any further clarifications. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DCW Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.